Welcome to John Wayne Lied to You, the storytelling podcast featuring me, the most friendliest reindeer of all, the darkest of all the elves, not complexion-wise, but just in my heart. That's right, John Wayne, here I am, ho ho ho, and I'm not just talking to you, you know who you are. Ho, 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 the Santa ho is what I'm saying. It's Christmas Eve. Welcome. If you celebrate that, Mazel Tov or whatever, I guess that I just mixed religions. It doesn't matter to me. It's all, we're all one. One consciousness, you know, experiencing each other subjectively. Yes, here it is. I apologize for this episode to not come out this morning, Monday morning. It's going to be out this afternoon, Monday afternoon, Christmas Eve afternoon, because, wow, this has been a week. Let me tell you guys what, you know, if you listened last week, if you tuned in last week, last week was the holiday episode. I guess I should have maybe tailored it for today, since it's like Christmas today, but I guess I figured that by then, like, by this week, you know, tomorrow's Christmas, so people are going to be doing Christmas shit, and then, you know, you listen to this later in the week, you don't want to hear about fucking Christmas anymore, but, you know, so I told my Christmas story last week. Anyway, this week has been insane. As I was saying, if you listen to my Christmas episode last week, I talked about how I feel around the holidays, how working in the service industry and retail really, you know, destroyed the holidays for me. And I don't think I mentioned this last week, but, you know, last week I talked about how Starbucks, in particular, specifically Starbucks, really put the last nail in the coffin as far as, like, Christmas went for me and holiday spirit and all that kind of stuff. You know, no offense to Starbucks, you know, whatever, but the whole situation, that whole retail environment, that service industry environment, just gets really nuts at the holidays. It's just nuts, and you just have to accept it, or you'll go even more insane than you already are. But it wasn't just that. You know, leading up to that, I don't know if I've brought this, I think I have brought this up before, but I have, and this is not a brag, this is just a fact, just something to say, like, I've never been unemployed. I've never not had a job. Ever since I turned 16, I started the week I turned 16 at Kroger as a sacker, bag boy, whatever you want to call it. I was there for a year and 7 months. I started working at the software store with Nick P. That's where our origin story started, as you know. I've talked about that many times. And then to Jason's Deli, and then to Starbucks. So all of those are service industry, retail-y type jobs, and all of those are affected by the holidays. So I guess I didn't clarify that, because it wasn't like just working for Starbucks for the time I did was what killed the holidays. It was like a slow burn all the way up to there that really did it for me. And here we are in the throes, balls deep in this holiday season. Tomorrow is the deepest we can get into Christmas. The balls slapping. This is where they slap against Christmas's taint. And then, you know, after you wake up and open your presents, it's all downhill. It's all about the pull out from there. And boom, one more year till we have to suffer through that again. So, like I was saying, I'm all over the place. I do want to say I am here. I forgot. I'm so scattered, folks. I'm sorry. I'm here in Wayne Manor. Luckily, thankfully, here in Wayne Manor, tucked away in the East Wing in the Library of Evil. Yes, yes, I have a nice heaping bowl of Grandpappy's medicine, and I do have some coffee, even though it is the afternoon time, but I didn't get coffee this morning, and a nice Topo Chico. So I think all of these things are going to work to soothe me and get my head back together. Just a little sip of coffee here. So, my week has been insane. I know I was talking about it last week about, you know, my day job, us being busy and working a lot of hours, and how we have to, you know, if we're going to have a holiday off, we have to make up all the work that would have been done on that day somehow. You know, either you either have to fit it in early or right after to make sure orders are on time and all that kind of stuff. So we've been busy. We're busy anyway. We've like the company is doing really well. They've launched into some other national markets that have just made us busy, and it's all good. It's all good things for the company and the business. But as I said, it's just a lot of work, and it's wearing on all of us. There, we've just seems like we can't get away. Every time we leave, it's like we're right back again. It's like a weird Twilight Zone or some kind of like Richard Matheson story where you just don't, at the end you realize you've been dead and in hell or something the whole time, and it's, you know, at your job. But you know, I really like all the guys I work with, and we are a good team. We you know, sometimes we get on each other's nerves, I'm sure, and there's sometimes people, you know, you could want other people to work harder than they do and vice versa, but you know, at the end of the day, we get the job done, and there's no personal beef between anybody. You know, there's just work stuff. But this week, like I said, we've just been nuts. I haven't even really gotten to do much of anything at all this week outside of met with Nick P on Wednesday, and we did some writing and some stuff, but other than that, man, it's been late nights. The latest, be like the longest day culminating, you know, with these last 2 days. Yesterday, Sunday, we had to work. Regular day, I went in at 6 a.m. It was a lot of blends to do, plus it was a lot of work to do, plus we had some mechanical issues, equipment malfunction. We ended up having to like stop production for the day because we couldn't complete it and move it to a different time. That's just going to be another long day in the near future. But we were there till 8 p.m. 6 o'clock in the morning till 8 p.m. Is a long fucking day, and had to be back there at 5 a.m. this morning because we had more to do that had to go out today and be on the truck going to be high pressure pasteurized, I might add, at 10 a.m. So we got that bitch on the truck at like 9:23, I think, and you know, I don't think you could have got us out of there fast. I mean, I was breaking my neck to get out of there, but you know, not in a, like, I hate this place. It's just I needed to get away, just clear that out of my head for a little bit. So I came home. I thought, I vacillated on, you know, like very shortly, we're about to leave and do Christmas Eve things like my family's house and at my wife Katie's family's house. So I was like, man, should I just like fucking just grab a quick nap? And I was like, nah, that's gonna make me groggy and shitty. So I actually just went and worked out, came home, took a shower, and sat down here. I'm going to record the podcast and get it out. You know, I got to keep with my schedule. Got to keep with it. No rest. There's no holidays. There's no days off. At least not for me. So, that being said, it's been a long week. Been a long week, and I don't know how many more times I can say that, but... yeah, that's really all that's been going on with me. I know I like to recap stuff, but I don't know, man. It's been a lot of nut milking this week, and that's all good. That's fine. Like I said, I'll be off a lot in January. I'll be in Portland at BizarroCon the second week of January, and then the next week, like the 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, that whole bunching of 20s, I'll be at Days of the Dead in Atlanta. And, you know, here's a little thing I don't talk about a whole lot, but I'll put it out there. That my birthday falls on that convention, where I will be at that convention, and it will be my birthday. So, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe something special, maybe nothing. Maybe we'll see. But if you're coming to that convention, you could come by the table and say hello and happy birthday if you want, and give me a spanking because I deserve it for whatever. I'm sure I've done something. But yeah, so I know I'm going to be off a lot. Plus, I really, you know, I think I'm going to have some adjustments made to my schedule in the new year, and I'll talk more about that if and when I get it all hammered out. But there it is. On the exciting front this week, for sure, my new book, which was announced, I believe, last week or 2 weeks ago from Grindhouse Press called As Seen on TV. Comes out very soon, and the cover reveal was just the other day, like Friday, I believe. So check it out on my Instagram, on my Facebook page. My Instagram and Twitter are at John Wayne is Dead, or my name, John Wayne Communale, on Facebook. Also on the Grindhouse Press, all across their social medias, they put it out there as well, and I just kind of grabbed it from them. But yeah, the cover reveal for my new book, very excited about it. I had a really good time writing this. I talked about it while I was writing it on the show, so if you've listened for a while, you know I've chatted about that work in progress here and there, and now it's come all the way. It's a book. It's going to come out. We're still deciding on the release date. I kind of want to prepare some promotional things for this, so I might hold it off for, I don't know. We'll see. More on that later, but that's exciting. Go check it out on my social media. A little inside baseball on that, too. I drew that cover. And that's not to say, like, I drew it like I was like, oh, I'm in total control of this project. I must draw the cover and control every aspect of it. Not at all. It wasn't even that. I was talking back and forth with Carrie C.V. Hunt, if you will. Please read her stuff on Grindhouse Press. She's amazing. And she kind of just like had this... She asked me if I had any ideas for the cover, because she had this idea that was, you know, this. She kind of just like, you know, told me what she saw in her head. So, you know me, I'm sitting around just stoned, being a stony bastard, and grab my iPad and I start sketching it up, kind of like, and I sent it, you know, half done to her. I was like, you know, like a half little thing, and I was like, hey, like something like this, is what you're thinking? She was like, yeah, that looks great. Let's just use that keep going, and we'll see how it turns out. So it turned out pretty good, I think. I really like using that Procreate program on my MacBook Pro. This is not branded content. I'm not sponsored by them, but it is a cool program for drawing, and I don't necessarily think I'm that great of a drawer. I just am good at the style I draw in, so I like to do drawings. Hello, my name's Simon. I like to do drawings. That was a... That just popped in my mind. That was a Saturday Night Live sketch that Michael Myers... Mike Myers parodied, but that was fucking a sketch. That was like a British cartoon or something, I believe, that was on like Pinwheel, I think, on Nickelodeon back like the early 80s. It was either on Pinwheel or it was on Mr. Rogers. It was on one of those things where it would just cut to that randomly and this kid's in the bathtub like, my name's Simon, I ought to do drawings, and I do too, and with my iPad, but don't take that in the tub, okay? Don't. Thank you. Anyway, yeah, so that's it, and that's that, and the good news. Also, from Death's Head Press, the anthology And Hell Followed is up for pre-order right now. They are doing a lot of really great promotion around that anthology. It's going to be a big release for them. I do have a story in it. And but basically, the premise of this anthology was the apocalypse according to the book of Revelation. So all the authors in it had to write a story within that realm. It just had to at least reference what happens in the book of Revelation as far as the apocalypse, and you could change it however you wanted or whatever, but that's it. And so I haven't read any of the other author stories, so I'm very excited to, because I had fun writing my story with that concept, and I'm sure a lot of other people did too. But that's up for pre-order right now on deathsheadpress.com, or I shared the link a bunch on my Facebook or their Facebook as well, so you can check it out. It's going to be very cool. And they also just interviewed me this last week and posted it yesterday. So there's a little interview with excuse me, with your old boy here, talking about writing and how I got my start writing and when I was a kid and all that kind of good stuff. So if you're into that, you know, it's a nice little interview. So check that out, please. That's what I got coming up. So moving right along to our three-card tarot reading this week. As you know or don't know, every week before the show, I do a three-card tarot reading on myself, thinking about my life and what's going on, and just kind of try to get a different, fresh perspective on what I'm thinking about, what's going on in my life, through looking at what these cards represent. So this week, I was my thought, as I was shuffling up the cards, I was thinking, like, I need to remove obstacles, some obstacles from my life right now that are taking me off my trajectory or impeding my trajectory along my career path. So some obstacles need to be removed, physically and mentally. I need to focus. I need to be more focused. I think these things will fall more into balance once I kind of get my shit together scheduling wise. I definitely was thinking planning, you know, I got trips coming up. I got trips that I'm waiting to get the links back sent back to me so I can pay them for the table. I mean, I'm really doing a lot right now, and I need to make sure I'm solidly planning and using what I've learned in the last year of traveling to have better success this year, or more success, or just be better at it. So those are what I was kind of thinking about. So first card I drew, the Emperor, very, very imposing figure, strong old dude, big beard, sitting on a big stone throne with four ram's heads on it, and he's got the mountains behind him. All this looks badass. He looks like, don't fuck with him. So the Emperor, he is all those things I said, and he also suggests you are adopting a fatherly role in that you are providing for your family and protecting loved ones. I mean, it goes on to say it's just not necessarily like, it's not gender, you know, specific, or that you are going to become like literally a father or a father to people. It's like protection, I guess, that feeling of like a fatherly, what a father would do, or I guess supposed to do, or most generally known for, that can apply to anybody, you know, male and female. And I look at that, and I'm like, keep going on. You are relied upon for security and stability. You are powerful. You demand respect and authority. You're most comfortable in a leadership role, organizing those around you to manifest your goals. So I look at this, and I'm reading it, I'm thinking how it applies to me and such. I'm like, you know, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, you know, depends on what the group of friends or family or people that I'm around, I could see how that I would step into that role, that leadership role, with when I'm around certain people. You know, other times there's other people who lead better in different situations. I think I've done this since I was like in elementary school, and I tried to shy away from it because I thought maybe I was being too bossy. But I'm just, I guess I can just see things, my mind works like that, to kind of like solve problems or see the path, the direction to get to where we need to get, not literally, but you know, I can see that, and so when the opportunity affords me and it is the right thing, right fit, I can definitely see how I would be the leader in some situations with people around me. So you're most comfortable in that leadership role, organizing those around you and manifest your goal is like you got having people around you helping you succeed. Now, when I read that, I read it a couple times, and I was like, my first blush was, wait, this isn't saying you just like get people around and influence them to do all the work so that you can get the benefits. It's not that. It's them being a part in helping the work that you're doing to be successful, you know. Those are the people who, I guess in my situation, would be the people who buy my books and talk about them, share them, give good reviews, do interviews, those kind of things. Those are the people that's how I get helped. And I think that, you know, I don't know, maybe I put out there some kind of vibe where it's like people key in on that and we click and help each other out. So it says you listen to advice, but you have to have the final say. I don't know if that's necessarily always a good quality, but it's one that I definitely identify with, because I certainly will you know, I've in the past been like, if somebody's been like, you know what, I think how you should do it is, and I'm just looking at them nodding, yeah, okay, oh, wait, what, yeah, oh, okay, I see, all the while in my head I'm going, I'm still doing it the way I want to, I'm not even giving this any kind of thought, what you're telling me. So I've definitely been like that, but sometimes it's a good thing, because sometimes you can have too many people trying to like this, that, and you just need to be decisive, be the decider, and be like, this is what we're doing, and I'm doing it this way. You're not afraid of conflict, and protect those you care about. I've talked about conflict in the past. I think it seems like it's one of the number one things a lot of people shy away from. Fear is a big word. I mean, I don't want to necessarily say that everyone's afraid of it. I just think it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant to, you know, there are people that definitely do derive pleasure out of confrontation, but overall it's not pleasant. You know, confrontation is not usually associated with a positive thing, and you don't want to, you know, it just sucks sometimes to have to do that and to have to communicate in that way with people. But it's got to be done, and I was one of those folks as well that didn't like it or felt I wasn't good at it until, like I said, I was, you know, thrust into a management position at Starbucks, and then it was like, fuck, man, I've got to be able to address conflict on a pretty almost daily, weekly basis between people or customer, or, you know, my partners, customers, whatever. And I got good at it. I honestly, I just took it head on. I didn't shy away from it. I was like, let's just fucking do this. It's kind of like I'm a lot like a rip the Band-Aid off kind of guy when it comes to just those kind of things. Yes, Cerberus, I know, baby. Cerberus says Merry Christmas. So that was like kind of like how I went about it, and I think that was the best way for me, because now we identify this where it says like you'll protect those you care about, don't be afraid of conflict. I think that's where I read that as like stepping in to help someone, help your friend, protect them in a conflict if they're not up to dealing with it, or they're just taking it like that, like you being able to intervene, I feel, is what that's talking about. You create order by applying principles and guidelines for each specific situation. Signifies your knowledge and expertise, and you are happy to share it. I can see that, you know, creating order around what you're doing. I think I do it without even realizing it. Like, I place these almost unsaid rules, almost unthought about rules when I approach things, like as far as sitting down to write, or you know, getting ready for a John Wayne is Dead show, putting the music together, writing a new song. It's all I when I really sit down and think about it, I recognize where I put these little rules while I'm doing that, and I think that's what, you know, that's what this is. That's definitely made me think of that. And you know, I get the second part, the emperor being the emperor, you signifies you're knowledgeable, and you're knowledgeable to the point of being an expert in something, and you are happy to share it. I'm happy to share. I'm not an expert writer by any means, you know, but I keep getting better as I go, and I'm happy to talk to anybody. I've answered lots of messages to me about people just asking what to look for as far as from getting started, how to start, all the way to I'm, you know, really ready to publish something, what, you know, what suggestions can you give to me, how do I go about that, and I just kind of give them the nuts and bolts of it, which I had to figure mostly out for myself. So I like, of course I want to share that, because it was kind of tough, and it's like, if I can help you out here, let me help you out. Now, you know, I don't need like these fucking, also these messages about, I want to drink your jizz cums and your glaze my face with your jizz. I don't need those. By the way, those are all from guys, which is cool, but you know, I'm flattered, but I don't need those kind of messages. So let's just keep it up about writing, maybe less jizz. Okay. Second card I got, the, Six of Pentacles. Now this card, it's kind of a lot about, like, I took some away from this card, because it's mostly about wealth, financial security, establishing that, and the distribution or redistribution of your wealth, or, you know, sharing, being generous. So you know, Six of Pentacles is you're generous. You offer financial assistance to those in need. If not in money, then in time and wisdom. And I wrote that down part because I was like, well, I don't have a lot of money to loan out to people. Of course, I'm always down to float someone a couple bucks till payday. I've done that. You know, people have done that for me. Why wouldn't I do it? But I'm not like some fucking Daddy Warbucks that, you know, has like money to throw around. But the time and wisdom, that goes back to what I just said with the Emperor. You know, I'm down to give my time because if I have it to give, and I wouldn't call what I know wisdom. I would just say I know some stuff, and let me tell you, see if it helps you. So trust every contribution you make will come back threefold. And I take that also not in the monetary sense. You put that good out there. It's like a karma thing, or however you want to think about it, golden rule. You know, that energy, you put it out there, it's going to come back. You help people, you're going to find a day you're going to need help and be like, fuck. And somebody's going to be there to help you. Just like that. So I truly believe in that kind of stuff. So I try to put that out there. You want to also make sure you're charitable in a way that encourages, you know, the people around you to be self-sufficient. You can help people out here and, you know, get them started, maybe even give them a little bit more support after that, but they've got to fly on their own. You got to kick them out the nest. You know, I'm not going to hold your hand through, you know, just applying it back to me. I'm not going to hold your hand through writing a flash fiction or a, you know, 5,000 word story. You just got to do it. You know, I'll tell you what I know, the best advice I can give, but you got to be self-sufficient. This is also I just wrote this down. This is a card of financial harmony. So hopefully, maybe some financial harmony will come my way, especially with all my traveling and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that's why I put that down. Last card, Eight of Swords. This is a very, ominous looking card, at least, but I really like what it's all about. So this one is like the card has a woman who is tied up and blindfolded, with eight swords stuck into the ground around her. Appears like she can't, as if she's trapped and can't get out. But if she were to just remove her blindfold, she would see. Oh, I don't think she's tied up, actually. She's just blindfold. Oh, she's tied up. Basically, the card is saying if she took that blindfold off, she would see that she's not trapped. Basically, it's saying that she's just kind of given up. She's resigned to being trapped. But, You gotta open up your eyes and see. And it's not even, sometimes it's not even really about opening your eyes. It's like changing your thought process is what opening your eyes is in this situation. You know, you feel trapped, restricted by your circumstances. You're trapped between a rock and a hard place, feeling hopeless. But take a moment, take off this blindfold and see how possible it is to escape. This is something I've talked about before. I've applied this to my life. I started thinking this way. I just remember very specifically in junior in high school when I said I gotta stop beating myself up or worrying, putting energy into things I can't change. At that time it was like grades. Well, yes, I failed the test, so why am I gonna go around being like fuck, oh I'm so stupid, damn it, you know, or worrying about it? I know why I failed the test. You didn't study. That's why you didn't pass it. Okay, now move forward. Now how can you not fail next time? Put that energy into that, not dwelling on this problem that you can't change. If you cannot change something, I just think that's wasted energy to dwell on it. Get out of your own head. Change your thought process to create a positive situation for yourself. That's just like what I just said. Like that's the opening of the eyes for me. It's be positive and use that energy in a better way. Get a new perspective on your predicament. Be open to a solution rather than dwelling on the problem. Make sure your energy is serving you and the problem's solution. That was my own personal note. Again, this one's just all about that. I feel like it. You can think you're in a hopeless situation and bitch. Like, for example, I used to do it all the time about work. I mean, I went through some dark times at Starbucks where I could do nothing but bitch about it. I've certainly had, you know, like any job, you know, you wax and wane on how you feel, and I've had some burnout periods at this job that I currently have where I've been like, man, I fucking hate this. I gotta get out of this. But here's the thing, you know, those are, now when I have those things, they're momentary bursts of like emotion or whatever to get that out. Like, it's just like a venting almost. When I was at Starbucks, I just hated it in a real hardcore way. And I just used all this energy into hating it and hating everything. I'd be like, I fucking hate you people coming in here. I hate it. But I decided I got to stop that, because I can change this. No one's keeping me here. No one's making me, you know, shackling my foot to the Starbucks, you know, counter. I can leave. I can change the situation. But I wasn't. I wasn't looking for jobs. I wasn't trying to find the good in my job. I was just bitching. And that was pointless. And it spiraled my depression like further and further. And it just is a bad way. It's a bad way to get into. Easier said than done, but I highly, highly suggest to not, if you can change something, don't bitch about it, because you could be using that energy to change the problem. That's just how I feel. That's what this card is basically saying. So, at least saying to me. So there you go. There's our three card read. I like that. I felt pretty good about it. When it started, I was like, "Ooh, the Emperor." And I started reading that and I was like, "I don't know how much this really sounds like me. It's very like aggressive. The card is very aggressive in the way it kind of portrays this powerful figure." But then, you know, I started reading and thinking about it more, and I'm like, "Oh, okay, it's just these cards, that's why I like these cards. Very cool. I like to they help me to think about these things differently. So that's why I do it." There we go. That's that, and there it is. So moving on to our story this week. Like I said, I did the Christmas episode last week. If you want to hear a Christmas story, go back there and listen to that. I wrote this down. I thought about it a couple times, but I just thought about it again recently. I went on a trip to Nicaragua several years ago, which was way out of my comfort zone and out of what anybody would expect to hear from me. As you know, I've told you I don't like outside things. I don't like to go outside. And this was going to be pretty much nothing but a lot of outside stuff, because it was a surf trip. John Wayne, do you surf? I don't know. Let's find out on this week's story. First Third World Problems. So this is a while ago, maybe 8 to 10 years ago, possibly. I went on a trip to Nicaragua with, this was when I was married to my now ex-wife. So I went with her, name was Apple. And the reason was this: she loves to travel. She travels a lot now. And she was really into travel, and she's really into outside stuff, and the ocean especially. So she had a cousin who is a hobbyist surfer. He surfs every day, moved to California specifically to surf, and he and his wife had taken off, both basically just left their jobs and decided to do a six-month surf trip. His name is Chris, his wife Andrea doesn't really surf, but she went and watched and just hung. It was she had her own adventures while he surfed, and it was awesome. It's like, wow, dude, it must be awesome to just like, you know what, we're fucking doing it. 6 months off, we figure it out when we get back. So they went to a bunch of places. Like I'm saying, this was a 6 month trip all around the world to surf at different surf spots that are known. And in Nicaragua, there's a small town called San Juan del Sur that is a big surf spot and even has a surf school there that an American-run surf school called Chica Brava. It's for girls. And through some, like, all these weird 6 degrees of separation and stuff, my ex-wife ended up, she was friends with the girl who ran that school. And then, like, now her cousin and his wife are going to be in that city, and she's like, you know what, let's go there and meet them. When they're there, we'll be there. That'll be a vacation. And I was like, what now? Go where? And she's like, yeah, it's Nicaragua. It's in, and the only other time, like, I've been, you know, when I go, been to other countries, I've been to Mexico, it's been on a resort, you know, where you just sit around and they bring you everything, like, all inclusive. That is my mantra: all inclusive resort. I'll pay you once, I'll tip all the way through. I don't want to fucking open my wallet when I go to the restaurant. I don't want to have to be opening a tab for drinks. I like that. Plus, I don't care. I'm not going to go walk around some ruins and, you know, all that kind of stuff. That stuff is just not for me. So this was like, no, there's no resort. This is just, we're going to find a place to stay and stay. And I was like, oh, okay. And I, in my mind, I can't even imagine what this is going to be. I have no scope at the time, really, like how going to a third world country in a small town in a third world country was going to be. I had no idea. So we fly out, we get there. I can't remember how long it took. I know it was like two planes, and it was the first time I'd been, no, did this in Mexico too, where you land and you actually just get out on the tarmac. There's no jetway or anything. You just get out and walk across. And so we get there, and Apple had set up everything because she just knew how to do all that kind of stuff. So she had found a place for us to stay called the, it was just above a bar called the Irish Pub. Then, and I'm like, okay, is that a hotel? And she's like, no, it's like a room above a bar. And I was like, a hotel bar? She's like, no. So I couldn't picture this either. And she's arranged for this guy who, you know, he ran the bar. He also drove out to pick us up from the airport. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, he's out there. He's holding a sign with our name and shit. And that's cool. We get in, he's got this like beat up old pickup truck. I'm like, okay, so we, you know, we'll climb in that. And it's like an hour and a half drive from the airport to this town. I want to, maybe even longer, I want to say. I remember it was a long-ass drive. And as we're going, I'm kind of looking at everything, and I'm like, what? Where are we? It doesn't look great. There was a lot of, like, we passed through, like, other towns and parts where it was, like, a lot of weird graffiti, a lot of just, like, tough dudes hanging out. And he would tell us, he'd be like, yeah, this is not, you know, that's bad place, you don't want to go there, you know, a lot of this. And I'm like, what the fuck? I was like, this is how I die, this is how it happens, this is when people be like, what the fuck was John Wayne doing in Nicaragua? Anyway, we get there, and this is literally like a very small bar called the Irish Pub that was, you know, this is pretty cool, owned by a woman from Ireland who married a guy from Nicaragua and moved to Nicaragua, and this was her husband that came and picked us up, and they opened this bar in their town. They were the only place in San Juan del Sur that had Guinness. That was their big claim to fame, and they're the only Irish bar in like who knows how many miles. But above the bar, you know, they lived there, and then there was like two other rooms that they rented out, and it was actually pretty badass. Like, the room was big, had a nice bed, a shower, you know, and it was clean. It was nice. I was like, okay, this isn't bad. This is cool. I'm okay. I'm comfortable with this. So, you know, we get settled in. We meet her cousin, everybody. We start, you know, walking around, checking it all out. And it's, you know, this place is, it's legit different, to say the least. You know, dirt, all the dirt roads. The houses that people live in are like kind of like these, almost like built like, they run together with themselves, almost. They look like built with just spare pieces of wood or, you know, scrap pieces of siding, aluminum siding. Just kind of put these houses together. And it's like, we're walking by, you know, them. There's windows and stuff that are open and just kind of like they don't all have electricity or plumbing or anything like that. A lot of it's just like living in a thing you built in the backyard or something. So it was like, what, it was really, it's just eye-opening to see that, you know, and you're like, oh, wow, this is cool. But then this is interesting, like, to see people like this, and they had, like, shops and things like that in different parts. of the town. There's a whole little shop area that was similar to like the kind of ones that you would see in Mexico if you've been to one of those. You just walk through a market and there's all this kind of stuff. They had that too. And the food prep, this was something that, like, I told this to my DM, Chris Field, shouts out. She's probably not listening. I'm sure she's not listening. Around like food safety and all these crazy rules that they would have, we have here that are for good reasons. But you know, we used to get like just ramrodded at Starbucks on this EcoSure thing of all these safety things we had to have in place and all this. And I told her, I was like, you know, when it's in Nicaragua, I'm walking through that market and there's just this wooden, thick wooden topped table, thick, like, you know, handmade, like whatever they, you know, it's mostly just like a big thick slab of wood propped up kind of on some sawhorses or something. And I saw them just like chopping like a chicken up on it and just like throw that up, move that aside, and then like pick up a side of a pig and just like chop into that right on there. There's no you know, there's no sanitizing the board. It's wood, first of all. I mean, you're not supposed to cut on wood. They're not wearing gloves. It's just open air. There's flies everywhere. It's like, holy shit, man. And I ate that food, and I didn't get sick. So, your move, American Health Organization for Food, if that's what you're called. Anyway, yeah, so that was also kind of like blew my mind. And there's some bars that we went to that were right there on, like, this is a very small town. Everything is kind of like a stone's throw from it itself, basically. You just walked everywhere. You walked right down to the beach. There's a couple of, like, you know, little, nice little bars, you know, little like town bars. And they had their beers were, I forget what the beers were. Didn't matter. You had the local beers, and so we're just drinking them and having fun. I remember the first night, and we go to I've had a couple beers, I'm feeling good, and Chris says like, hey, let's wait out in the tide here or whatever, and I was like, yeah, let's go, and I'm like, oh, okay. So we start walking out, and he's like, oh, don't pick up your feet, be sure to scoot them along the ground, and I was like, why? And he's like, oh, there's a lot of stingrays here. They're known for having a lot of stingrays around this area. So they rest at the bottom, and you know, when you kick up the sand, it alarms them and they move away, rather than if you step on them, they'd sting you, right? And he's like, I was like, okay. So I wasn't feeling very settled about that. And then he's like, yeah, you gotta watch out for the babies too, because they'll just be a lot of them around or whatever. And I was like, the babies? And he's like, yeah, sometimes you can see them like in the waves and the water, like there's a bunch of little stingrays, or, you know. I'm like, okay, I don't like that. And we start walking, and sure as shit, we're like, you know, 20 feet out or something like that, and the waves that are coming in, they're about knee height. But, you know, as the sun's setting and there's limited light, and he's pointing, oh, look, you can see it. And as the waves that are coming and hitting us, you see these little fucking, like, maybe 6-inch stingrays. I was like, that's how I'm fucking out of here, guys. I don't know what you're doing. This is not for me. So we go back out, and that was done with that. Now, throughout the rest of the trip, I did try some outside things. We took a surf lesson. There's a lot of things, so I have to kind of, you know, streamline this a little bit. Did end up taking a surf lesson. I did get up on the board. It's true that once you get up, once you do it the first time, it something clicks in you where you're like, oh, now I see, now I know how to do it. And you can pretty much replicate that, you know, you're not automatically a professional surfer, but that, I don't know, once I did it, I could do it more. So it was fun, but I still have no interest in it. I'm not going to go out and be like surfing anywhere. As far as that whole thing goes. Now, there was probably more Americans in this town than, no, that's a lie. A lot of Americans, though. And I was like, what the hell is the deal? It turns out these Americans that have come down and visited and like this place and whatever, these surf people and all that kind of stuff, a couple of these guys came down, and what they do is they buy all the real estate start a real estate firm there and sell the property. And they're selling it to like Americans coming to live there now. Like they basically will sell you a place where you can have a house or some shit. And it was boggling my mind. It was so different. Everything was so different. We also took a long boat ride out into the ocean, which if you've listened to me talk about a boat ride we took in Mexico one time with the Monsignor and my ex-wife and his wife, I do not like them. I don't get seasick. I just get bored sick. And being out on the boats is very boring to me. But other people that were there seemed to enjoy it and jump out and swim around and had just a great old time. But you know me, I'm just keep to myself and try to look ponderous and troubled. Anyway, the highlight of that, or the low light, was there was a resort there. It was called like Pelican's Eye or something like that, or something like that. And so I remember them telling, you know, oh, we can go up to the resort. And I was like, there's a resort here? Like, yeah, yeah. And I was looking at my ex-wife. I'm like, why can't stay at the fucking resort? We go up there and it's way high up in like this hill mountain thing, like on another side. Like we had to drive there actually and then drive up this hill and then walk up more of the hill, and you get up there and it's got like this huge infinity pool and all kinds of food that I'm sure is not chopped on a wooden table in the middle of the open air and all kinds of stuff. And I was like, what keeps this place alive? Like, why is there a resort in this very poor, poor town? And I don't know, but from what I could gather, that it seemed to me like with that place and these real estate people and all this, might have been a little corruption going on. I'm not sure, but I think I am sure. Also, we did smoke a joint there, and while I was smoking it, Chris's wife was like, "Yeah, you know, yeah, they're really hard on drugs here. They'll just like grab you and take you to jail." And we're like, "I'm like, what?" Like, she's like, they'll either leave you alone or they'll just super throw the book at, like, super going hard on you. And I was like, what the fuck is that all about? Talk about, you're paranoid anyway. But another highlight was there was one ATM machine in the town guarded by a soldier with a machine gun at all times. That's kind of weird to see a machine gun. Like, I'd never been around a machine gun, but he was there. And it rained one day, not a thunderstorm, not lightning, just a rain. The town lost power for 8 hours. The whole town, no power. I'm like, what happened? Like, oh yeah, it rained. Yeah, it just rained. So, needless to say, taking this trip out of my comfort zone, a lot of outside things that I don't like. Overall, I did enjoy the fact that I had that experience, that I went there. That's a good life. I thought that was a great life experience. It was cool to see those things. You know, but I'm just not a, you know, I'm not an outdoorsman. I'm not a watersman. You know, I'm not a boatsman. So while I did enjoy it, not my ideal trip, but would I go back? No. Why? All right, there you go. My slight perspective changing visit to a third world country, Nicaragua, San Juan del Sur. Anyway, it was cool. I did have a good time. I hope I didn't paint that too negatively, but it was just such a culture shock. First time I experienced something like that, and it was just really like, whoa, man, this shit's real. Like, this is real, and it makes you a lot more thankful for what, you know, suddenly. Remember I was talking about complaining about shit you can't change? When you experience something like that for like a week and you go back, there's, you really understand that you have really truly nothing to complain about, really. Yeah, maybe, but probably not. You're probably not living in some kind of building you've constructed with odd pieces of wood that's basically what a child would construct in the backyard, like I said. So it just puts some perspective on things, and it made me, I'm very grateful and thankful for what I have, and, you know, for experiencing that. And those people are far, far more badass than I am, and I'm pretty badass, you know. So there you go. Thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate it. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't. Tell your friends to subscribe and help old Uncle Johnny out. Please, if you know, now that you've got the Christmas blues, post Christmas blues, and maybe you got a little you know, gift money in your pocket, an Amazon gift card perhaps, why not pick up one of my books, including my new book Scummer, that's out from Grindhouse Press. You can also, you know, pre-order the And Hell Followed anthology from Death's Head Press, which is going to be very, very cool as well. And all my books are also available on Kindle, so that's not an excuse. You can get it on a Kindle. If you would like to buy them straight from me, check out the shop page at johnwayneisdead.com. You can also get the new John Wayne is Dead 12-inch record from there, as well as our new t-shirt and all our 7-inches. And all of those things come directly from me, so I will personalize them and send you some extras if you order from the store. So thanks, guys. Be sure to follow me at John Wayne is Dead on Instagram and Twitter. I usually put a bunch of shit on my Instagram stories, so that's the best way to find out kind of what I'm doing from time to time. And if you miss a show or something, you can see things on there for that. My Facebook page, John Wayne Communale, my name. Follow John Wayne is Dead, the band, on Facebook. And I stay tuned for the release date information announcement on my new book, As Seen on TV, in 2019 from Grindhouse Press. Thank you all. Good day.